Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. While many Americans struggle to trim fat and sugar from their diets, a far more dangerous ingredient may be seeping in from the ground. Arsenic is an odorless, tasteless poison that exists in the Earth's crust. It's been monitored in drinking water since the 1960s, though not all states follow the same standards, meaning that arsenic levels in many states exceed the EPA's recommended limit. Last winter, the U.S. Geological Survey found that low levels of arsenic are present in 40% of New Hampshire's groundwater, for example, with one in five wells measuring above 10 parts per billion. Deborah Blum is a Pulitzer Prize-winning science journalist. She's a columnist and a blogger for Wired and the New York Times. She was given access to the USGS map showing arsenic concentration across the U.S. It's due to be released to the public in late October, and she's here with a preview of some of its findings. Deborah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me here.
So first, what is arsenic and how much is toxic to humans?
You know, arsenic is a naturally occurring element, and we're still trying to figure out the lower level of what makes it dangerous. So, you know, most people think of it as kind of an evil, homicidal poison, and that's at fairly high levels, right? Thousands and thousands of parts per million or a couple teaspoons. But what we see in water and soil and some of our foods is part per billion arsenic. And the EPA set a 10 part per billion level on arsenic as a compromise. There was actually an argument that to really protect people, it needed to be five. So we're still testing at that 10 part per billion level and trying to figure out how dangerous it is. Having said that, the really bad things that we see tend to be more like it, 500 parts per billion and in that neighborhood.
So would a person who ingests arsenic be able to detect it in food and water or recognize any symptoms?
No. I mean, and now we're talking about, low-dose toxicology, right? So it's tasteless, as you said, and odorless and textureless and all the things you really don't want in a dangerous element. So you wouldn't know if you were eating it. And what we see at these very low part per billion levels is not that you suddenly feel sick. Man, I just ate an upsetting meal, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you see is that arsenic at these very low levels seems to have a really unique ability to damage all different kinds of cells in the body in a way that doesn't drop you where you stand. And it's because it's so versatile at these kind of cellular low levels that you see it associated with this list of problems if you were exposed to it long term.
Mm. Right.
Everything from diabetes to heart disease to cancer to cognitive deficits. I mean, the list goes on.
Now, Deborah, you write the Poison Pen column for the New York Times Well blog and the Elemental column for Wired. And we do have a link to your post on Wired called Arsenic Nation. Now, this is showing arsenic concentrations in micrograms per liter across the U.S. The source was the U.S. Geological Survey. What are some of the key revelations?
I was looking at that map. I mean, it's kind of astonishing when you see this sort of spatter effect of arsenic in groundwater across the United States, and also the more recent findings looking at it even higher levels in soil. And I was surprised to see it in such varied environments. Like, why would it be out in Nevada, which is nothing like New England? I mean, you see arsenic belts in both those areas. And when you look at it, it makes you appreciate a couple of things. One is, you know, we do live on a really poisonous planet, and we need to pay attention to what's underneath our feet. And I love that idea. I love that idea that the Earth is this living chemistry laboratory. It's bubbling up these things underneath our feet. And rather than saying, oh, well, we're at a point where we're smart enough to say, no, not oh, well. We can measure these, and we can pay attention, and we can take steps to protect ourselves. So I think that's important. And when you look at what USGS has done, you can see this wonderful variety of ways that our planet then delivers something like arsenic, from hydrothermal fluids in the west to the ancient seabeds that we see underlying places like New England. so that you see this wonderfully living, varied chemical experiment of the planet we live on.
We're talking about arsenic in drinking water for populations all across the U.S. Deborah Blum is with us. Is there more arsenic in the water than there used to be, Deborah?
No, not really. I think we drill into it more. I mean, one of the things when you're looking at arsenic in drinking water is you're looking at wells, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the more that we go deep into these bedrock aquifers in which arsenic can kind of seep out of those rocks into water, the more we're exposed to it. And you see this not just in the United States, but in other countries which are sort of considered arsenic hotspots, parts of India, Bangladesh, Chile, Argentina. I mean, there's areas where people have drilled wells and then thought, wait a minute, the surface water was safer in some ways.
Mm.
I think this kind of map is important. It lets us know what's there. It says know your backyard and know what's under your feet. And it says if you have a private well, really pay attention, right? This is something you want tested. You may want to put on some of the new filters that can take arsenic out of the water, especially if you have small children. Let's be proactive in dealing with a notorious poison.
How does arsenic seep into water supplies? You mentioned New England earlier, and why is New England, particularly New Hampshire, in fact, susceptible to higher levels in well water and soil?
Well, if you look at water, for instance, what you really see in New England is our planet's history, which I find kind of fascinating. But in this sort of corner of the world, a lot of the ground and the rock that's laid down is left over from ancient seabeds. It's marine schists and shales. These remnant seas, they used to underlie arsenic-rich waters early in our planet's history, and that arsenic settled to the bottom and sort of permeated what would then become rocks. So both in the soil, you have this kind of unique geology or geochemistry, which concentrates arsenic. And then in the rock, you see the same kind of arsenic soils that have morphed into rocks, I guess is one way of putting it. And then the water itself, as we all know, erodes that rock, and the arsenic then seeps out of the rock and goes back into water.
There are several spots that have concentrations of higher than 50 micrograms of arsenic per liter, some red spots, a lot of white spots there. Many states kind of barely register. Is that because they don't have arsenic or because they are not measured?
It's some of both. Like if you look at the map and you look at Florida, you'll see a few clusters of arsenic in the groundwater map and almost nothing in the soil map. And the kind of geology that underlies Florida, the kind of rocks that are there, are just not the kind of bedrock that normally contains arsenic. So the fact that you're in a region with high arsenic, you know, is sort of luck of the geologic draw to some extent. In areas where you see an arsenic belt, like in New England into Arizona, Nevada, you know, you can test wells and be at the, you know, less than 5 part per billion range. But you also, in New England, they've measured wells at 1,000 parts per billion. Mm. I know in Hanover, they've measured them at 1,000 parts per billion. If you go out west, there are pockets where you'll see those same phenomenally high levels. So people are really trying to get the word out and say, maybe you're lucky and you're in this little nice clean pocket, but maybe you're not, right? And you really want to pay attention.
Well, Hanover is where Dartmouth is located, and that's where researcher Brian Jackson discovered high levels of arsenic in baby food, of all things. I mean, baby food.
Yes.
Is there cause for alarm here? And where is arsenic turning up in our foods?
Well, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is doing a big review of arsenic in the food and drink supply, and they just actually set a limit, a 10 part per billion limit for arsenic in apple juice. We import a lot of our apple juice concentrate from China, and they still use lead arsenate pesticides there.
Mm.
We used to use those, but not to the degree that they're using them now in China. So, you know, so some of it is like the international food supply. In the case of what we eat, there's a lot of attention on rice, which was what you saw in Brian Jackson's work, particularly when he was looking at baby food. And people look at rice because it stands to be a kind of unique vacuum of arsenic out of the soil, right, of all the grains and of most plants. It has this fantastic system where it just pulls inorganic arsenic, that's arsenic that doesn't have carbon in it, which is the most poisonous form, directly out of the soil because it mistakes it for another mineral, and it mistakes it for a mineral it uses to stiffen the rice grain. Mm. So it just sucks arsenic up in a way that no other grain does. It's like at least 10 or more times the concentration of arsenic. And so people have really started saying, wait a minute, now we're talking about children and baby food, right? Rice cereal has always been one of the standard foods. Chicken and rice in those soupy little jars that I fed my kids, right? Brown rice syrup as a sweetener, that was one of the things that Brian Jackson looked at. People who are gluten intolerant, ethnic groups that tend to eat a lot of rice. So a lot of people are starting to say, what we need to look at is the sort of total arsenic exposure. If you're eating a lot of rice and you're drinking water from an arsenic-contaminated private well, you're really notching up your dose.
Yeah, knowing what you know now, do you eat rice?
So here's the thing about rice. I mean, I write about poisonous things all the time. There's not a day when I'm not thinking, it sounds really kind of twisted, where I'm not thinking about something that might kill you. And I'm not particularly chemophobic, but I do believe in taking common sense steps. The number one thing I do is I mix it up. I eat a really varied diet because what you know about low-dose exposure is that it's the repeated insult. If I'm exposing myself every day at a part per billion level, that's really where it gets dangerous. If I'm eating rice a couple times a week, several times a week, I don't think that's any big deal. And what people don't realize, as I say, as a neurotic label reader, is that it's not just, well, that white rice on my plate. And white rice, by the way, has less arsenic than brown rice. The plant stores arsenic in the bran and the husk. And when we refine rice to white, we polish that off. In my house, we eat white Himalayan basmati rice because everyone tells me that's a phenomenally arsenic-free variation on rice. And one of the things that did influence me, if you're a writer who writes a lot of toxicology stuff, you say, well, what are the scientists doing? Are they alarmed? Because they deal with even more poisonous stuff than me. Mm. And yeah, I did find at Dartmouth doing the arsenic and rice story that there were scientists who had changed the way they ate. So I'm not going to make myself crazy. And that's not my advice. No, don't make yourself crazy. Do think realistically about mixing it up. And in that sense, we're not just talking about arsenic, right? There's a lot of other things out there. And the more that you eat variety, the less likely you are to get hammered by any one of them on a daily basis. So I pay attention to things like what's in a label, and then I don't worry about it, at least not too much.
A little science, a little real-world wisdom from Deborah Blum. Thank you so much.
Thank you again. It was a pleasure to be here.
I like my town with a little drop of poison.
Deborah Blum, Pulitzer Prize-winning science journalist, author, and columnist for publications including The New York Times, Scientific American, Smithsonian, and Wired Magazine, where we found her Elemental Columns post called Arsenic Nation. We'll link you to it so you can see the map for yourself at wordofmouthradio.org.
Well, I feel much cleaner after it rains. And she left in the fall. That's a picture on the wall. She always had that little drop of poison.